Bava Kama Perek Test Mishnah Yud Beis 9:12. We continue to discuss halachas that pertain to the Gezel Hager, stealing money from this convert who has no heirs, after having sworn falsely that he didn't own the money. So we said in the previous mission the money goes to the Kohanim, that Hashem receives it and passes it on, so to speak, to the Kohanim. The question is which Kohanim, and the answer to that is it's the Kohanim who are on duty that week, who are referred to as the Anshe Mishmar. The Kohanim were divided into 24 subgroups, each called a Mishmar, and then one Mishmar would serve each week. They go in a cycle, a 24-week cycle, basically, to keep it simple. And just, you know, 1/24th of the Kohanim, so to speak, are serving on a given week. So it's that particular Mishmar who's serving that week, those are the ones who are to get the money. Any Kohen from that Mishmar will do, and then the Kohanim would divide up the money equally amongst themselves. And then, after that, the Ashim is to be brought, and the people who bring the Ashim, of course, are the people who are serving the Beis HaMikdash, who is the Mishmar. Okay, so our Mishnah discuss a few what-ifs around these topics. It starts out by saying, Nasan es hakesef l'anshei Mishmar. What happens if the person who stole from the convert, who then he swore falsely to, and then the convert died, he come to Yerushalayim, he gives the money, the 125, let's say, to the Anshei Mishmar, to the Kohanim, and now he is supposed to bring his Asham, but the mace, he, the thief, dies prior to his Asham being brought. So the question is, can the heirs of the thief say, listen, he was bringing the money essentially as kind of like a toll to allow him to bring this Asham to attain a kapara, atonement. Since he never got to bring his Asham before he died, we're not going to offer it now. So really, the quote-unquote toll, if you will, that was paid to the Kohanim should be returned to us, the heirs. So the Mishnah says, Ein ha-yorshim yichon lahotzi mi-adam. The Mishnah says, no, it doesn't work like that. The children, the heirs of the deceased thief, can't ask for their money back from the Kohanim. The reason why is because it's not just a toll. There is like a part of the kapara is achieved by returning the money, plus the 25%, you know, surcharge of the chomesh. So the point is, while the deceased didn't bring his asham, he did get a partial atonement by returning the money to Hashem, so to speak, who passed it on to the Kohanim. As I said before, if he did tshuva before dying, then his death will act as the kapara instead of the asham. If not, not. Now, the base of that is Shneamar, as the pasuk says, "Ish asher yitan laKohen lo yihyeh." The man who gives what he's supposed to give to the Kohen, like I described before, it shall be to him. It shall be to the Kohen. I mean, there's no backseas. It doesn't go back. Okay. Now, the next, like a new paragraph, if you will, we're now going to talk about the relationship between the Mishmar and the money slash korban. So one might have thought incorrectly that the money that you're giving to, I'll call it the Kohanim, is like kind of somehow kind of like compensation to them for doing the Korban Asham. So it has to go to the same group of Kohanim. But it's not really true. The basic din is that one brings the money to Hashem. Hashem says, give it to the Kohanim on duty, whoever they are. And if it happens to be that he won't bring around his Asham until next week, so then he'll have next week's Mishmar be the ones to bring the Asham, meaning week one's Kohanim will get the money, week two's Kohanim will do the work and bring the Asham, and that's fine. That's how it shakes out. No problem. Now, the Kohanim who are divided to those 24 Mishmaros, those 24 are listed in Divrei HaYamim, Book of Chronicles, and they have names. These different Mishmaros have names. The first of the 24 is referred to as Yehoyariv, and the second is referred to in the Psukim, and therefore in the Mishnayos and a bunch of places, as Yedaya. So our Mishnah will essentially, instead of saying group 1 and group 2, it'll say Yehoyariv for group 1 and Yedaya for the group 2. What's important to understand here is that there's a sequence. Yehoyariv comes first and Yedaya comes second. And what's absolutely essential, as he's kind of spoke up before, is that the money has to be returned prior to the giving of the sacrifice, of being makriv the asham. So if you do that out of order, meaning if you are going to be giving the offering before you give the money, one won't be yotzi. So that's really what the Mishnah has to say here. It says, Nasan akesef liYehoyariv. If one gave the money, the 125, let's call it, we'll see later, it's even 100, be okay, to Yehoyariv, group A of Mishmar A. And then, after that, Va'asham liYedaya. Then later on, the next week, he comes back and he gives the ram to be brought as the asham to group B, Mishmar B, Yedaya. Yatza, says the Mishnah, it's no problem. There's no connection between the two issues. Further says the Mishnah, Ashem lohu yarev, but if one gives the ram first to group number A, the chesef liyadai, and then he gives the money afterwards, the next week, to mishbar number two, mishbar B, then that's not going to work. Im kayim ha'asham, if group A were clever enough to know not to offer the asham because the money hadn't come in yet, so then yakirvuhu b'nei yadaya. So then fine, then the second mishmar, yadaya, can now that they've gotten the money, bring that animal as a carbon. That assumes it was left lying around. And the chadchila, the din is that Yoyarv should not have even accepted the animal because it's just a recipe for a disaster. But the imlav, if the animal that was brought to be offered is no longer around, whether it was offered as a sacrifice erroneously, or meanwhile if it's died or something, whatever it is, doesn't make a difference. The point is, yachzer v'yavi ashem acher, now the thief who wants to get atonement will now need to bring a second ram, because the ram can't work as an asham until first the money's been given. So now that the money's been given, he has to get a second ram, because the first ram is no longer here, and then it'll be brought again. Shemevi gezelu adshelo hevi ashamo, if one brings the stolen object or the value of that object prior to bringing the animal as an asham, as the guilt offering, then yatza, that's good, he's yotzi. But hevi ashamo, if one brings his guilt offering, that ram, and offers it as a sacrifice, adshelo hevi gezelo, prior to him returning what he stole, lo yatza, he's not yotzi, he doesn't get his kapara, he'll have to bring another asham again after he returned the money. Now, the last point of the Mishnah here, and of the Perek, is we said there's actually three boxes that this guy needs to tick. He needs to return the stolen object, that's true for all thieves. Then he needs to, since he swore falsely, he needs to add a 25% surcharge, the Chomesh, and bring an Asham to get atonement for his having sworn falsely. Now, what happens if he Nasan Esa Karen Velo Nasan Esa Chomesh? The Mishnah asks, what happens if he gave the 100 that he stole to the Kohanim, and then they brought his asham, but he hasn't yet given the 25 chomesh. So is that ma'akev? Meaning, is that essential? And he's not yoti, has to do another animal? The answer is, ein ha'chomesh ma'akev, no, that extra 25% is not ma'akev, it's not essential. Meaning, he's yoti, his obligation, he's fulfilled his obligation to bring his asham, and it's done. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't have an obligation still to give the last 25. He does, but as far as the time to go back and redo the asham, that's not a problem. Now, just one final note here, the Bartanura essentially is a cut and paste from Rashi, and he says in this last comment, Ulabasof Nasan, at the end he has to give, let's read the whole sentence. It says, the whole sentence says, Eina Chomesh Ma'akev, the 25% isn't essential, it doesn't undermine his ability to bring the Asham, Milhakrev Es Asham, says the Bartanura, Im lo nasan adayin, ulubasof nasan. If he didn't give it yet, prior to the bringing of the sacrifice, maybe I'll translate it loosely as, u provided that at the end he gives it. U provided that sounds kind of like, is this sort of implicit. So that's what Rashi says, and that's what Bartanura says. All the Mefarshim say, wait a second, it's not true. One simply does not need to give the Chomesh at the end to be yotzi his Asham. His Asham is fulfilled regardless of whether or not he gave that Chomesh. So they understand what the din is, regardless of how the Bartanura describes it and Rashi wrote it, is that one still has an obligation to give that final 25%, even if he gave back the Karen and brought his Asham. But in fact, that 25% is not ma'akev, the Asham, and what it does at all events. And with that, we finish the ninth perek, Baruch Hashem, of Maseches Bava Kama, but the tenth and final perek continues to discuss halachas of Gezeilah.